She didn't have the store in Butte anymore.
No, she didn't.
All right, then where did she live when she first came back?
She stayed with my brother here in his home in Los Angeles.
Did she finally buy another house?
No, she died 6 weeks after her return from China.
What happened to her house in Macau now?
She sold that before she came back.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. So when your mother passed away, how old was she?
She was 76.
Mm-hmm. Ralph, do you associate mostly with Chinese or non-Chinese now?
I believe it's mostly non-Chinese.
Non-Chinese would be Americans then?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I would say probably in the percentage something in the nature of 60-40 weighted on the non-Chinese side.
Do you have any associate with blacks?
Just in the office where there are some.
How about Chicanos?
And there are some in our plant there.
Do you feel more Chinese or more American?
I really feel probably split between the two. It depends on the situation. I can be very American, I can also be very Chinese. In as much as I am American born, I'm able to associate with both groups with equal facility, and then I also speak several dialects of Cantonese, and so therefore I am able to converse and to associate with the Chinese groups.
Now, besides Cantonese and Mandarin, what other dialects can you speak?
Well, I speak the Taishan dialect of the Cantonese, and I speak the city dialect Cantonese, I speak some Mandarin, but I don't have any other Chinese dialects that I speak.
Did you ever feel sorry for being a Chinese in any way?
Not really. I have not ever felt that particular feeling very deeply, because I believe that in our upbringing we were made to realize that we came from a very rich culture, and although at times it was difficult to be Chinese in the United States during the times that we were growing up, I don't ever believe that there was a time that I felt that I was at a disadvantage by being Chinese, in that our home training was very strong, and that the old values and traditions and the thousands of years of culture which were made important to us stayed with me and with my family, so that we were never completely disassociated from it.
Now, when you were younger, did you resent your family for being so Chinesey?
At times, yes. There were times when I felt that.
But what did you do when you didn't like the way that your parents, being so Chinesey, what did you do?
Well, there wasn't really too much you could do to change them, but it made me aware of the fact that if we were ever going to make any changes, and if we are going to remain in this country, that we would need to go out among the majority group more to reveal to them that we are not so different in many respects, and outside of our physical appearance, that we were just human beings and probably just equally as subject to all the trials and tribulations that everyone else was subjected to, except perhaps in a different degree. And that if we were to improve the particular racial conflicts that we could see building up, that it would be up to us who are American-born to go out amongst the majority group to make the relationships better.
Now then, do you think that you're typical the way you feel, or are most Chinese feel the same way you do?
I really can't say, but from my observations, I feel that being first generation, I believe that the influence of the older culture is stronger, so therefore I believe that being able to speak and being able to understand and being able to appreciate the older culture is probably stronger for that reason than subsequent generations, although I see now that fourth and fifth generation Chinese are becoming much more aware of their origins, and that they are very interested in studying the Chinese culture. Whereas I believe people in the second, third generations were trying to get away from that, but now this pendulum seems to have swung back from my observation.
Now then, when you were younger, when the family was sick, did you people ever use Chinese medicine, or did you use Western medicine?
Most of the time it was Western medicine, but at certain times the Chinese medicines would be used because my mother felt that these particular things were appropriate for these more minor ailments, but major things we depended on Western medicine.
Right now, do you ever use any Chinese medicine?
I do not myself now, no.
Not one thing that's Chinese?
No.
Salves or oil or anything like that?
I have nothing in the house along Chinese medicinal lines. In fact, I don't have anything American either.
No, well.
I don't even have aspirin.
Now then, during your spare time, Ralph, what would you like to do for recreation?
Oh,
Now, let's say now.
Now, I usually read, or I...
Do you read Chinese or foreign novel?
No, I usually read...
English?
English.
What do you like to read?
Oh, I usually like to read things along biographical lines, or I also like the suspense type novels, which appeal to me.
Do you like music?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I have been trained in music, and that was one of the liberal ideas that my mother had, that she insisted that all the children learn to play Western instruments. So we were all given lessons. Some took piano, and I took violin, and I was given singing lessons, and my brothers played saxophone. So as a matter of fact, our whole family is quite interested in music, so that all of us had a chance to learn how to play some particular instrument, because my mother was very fond of music, and she insisted that we all learn.
Does she play any kind of Chinese musical instrument?
My mother did not, no.
And yet she was so liberal.
Yes.
To, so that everyone
but
of you...
she felt that everyone should have some development along musical lines, so that my sisters all played piano, and as I mentioned, my brothers played saxophone, and I was given the violin lessons, and then later on, when it was found that I had a fairly good voice, then I was given voice lessons also.
Then during your spare time, you do go into your music?
Yes, reading and music, I believe. Mm-hmm.
How about the ball games? Do you like movies?
Yes, I like football very much, and movies to some extent. I continue to see.
Now, right now, do you have any more relatives in China or friends in China that you correspond with?
I do not, no.
Does your family correspond to anyone in China?
I believe very little. They do have some, probably some friends and perhaps relatives who are not very close who still remain, but I don't believe that it's too regular.
Now, do you have much association with the Chinese in Chinatown now?
I do not have
Do you belong to any associations?
I do not.
Like the Hum Family Association?
No, I do not. I have been to the association headquarters in San Francisco, for instance. Purely because relatives who were interested in seeing the association buildings wanted to see them, but I myself am not very strong on remaining close to those particular ties.
Now, in Chinatown, which person do you consider is a very important person, as far as you know? Which one is very influential in Chinatown?
I don't really know.
How about the families? I mean, any particular family who's considered quite well-known, influential, or important, or something like that?
No, I don't really. Not that well acquainted with any particular family as such.
Now, before the war, you were... Where were you, Ralph?
I was in Butte.
Oh, Butte. Uh-huh. Then what kind of jobs were the Chinese doing before the World War?
Well, I believe they were doing their own businesses, such as laundries and restaurants.
In Butte?
In Butte, yes.
At that time, about how many Chinese were living then?
I believe there were only somewhere in the neighborhood of about 150 to 200.
And how many people were there in Butte?
45,000.
45,000. Mm-hmm. That's quite a few, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how much do you suppose the Chinese were making then, pre-war period?
I really have no idea about how much they made.
Then during the Depression, I understand the income of the people was very, very small, but how do you suppose they could maintain their living before the World War?
Well, I don't really know too much about that. It's that I think some of them were probably able to stay on with established family businesses and groups such as ours. And I know we had a number of cousins that we supported during that particular time. Mm-hmm.
Were the cousins in Butte or elsewhere?
Yes, in Butte.
I see.
And even though our properties at that particular time were not all rented and we ourselves were not getting along that well, at least we had a base, and also was family tradition to help the others who were not so fortunate.
Mm-hmm. Now, in Butte, did the Chinese all live together, just like the Chinatown here?
More or less in one particular area, yes.
Why do you suppose they did that?
I believe it was just because in the past they had established these particular patterns and they just continued to use those particular areas as places where they would stay on. And also they had vested interests in those areas in that they owned the buildings they lived in and owned the businesses and so forth. So. Therefore, it was more practical for them to be where their livelihood was, and so they stayed in that particular area.
Now, then later on, when times were a little better, Chinese saved the money. Then what do you suppose they did with the money that they had saved?
Well, a good many of them had relatives whom they were supporting in China, so therefore I believe they sent a great deal of that to support the others in China who were not here and who depended on the foreign remittances for subsistence. As a matter of fact, my father's brother, my uncle, had a very prosperous store in the village, and which was very well known among all the Hams, where all the remittances were sent to him, and he in turn acted as the bank to convert the funds and to give to the families whom they were allotted for.
Mm-hmm. Now, what happened to your uncle's business now?
Well, of course,
have you followed through?
It prospered for very many, many years, and then he subsequently retired from it. And he passed away in his 90s, as I understand, in Hong Kong some years ago. I don't recall him at all, but it was due to my father's prosperity that enabled him to bring him over to the United States for a while, and then after my uncle decided to go back to China, it was also my father's prosperity that enabled him to set up this remittance center and store in the village, and that's how my uncle got started and became quite prominent as a result of the business transactions which came from the United States.
Now, did the Chinese in Built then gamble most of their money away?
Some of them did, yes. There were gambling houses which they frequented, mm-hmm. and I believe looking back, it was probably one of the few diversions that any of them men had at that particular time, inasmuch as most of them did not speak English well and they did not mingle with the majority group well, although some of them were working in stores and restaurants owned by majority people, but after their work day was through, naturally their whole social life was centered around the Chinese, and so therefore they had this one particular outlet probably for diversion, which was gambling.
And you mentioned about gambling houses. Were the gambling houses operated by Chinese or Americans?
Both. There were Chinese gambling houses, and then also there were
so
others.
The Chinese went to both of them,
yes,
both kinds.
Uh-huh.
Now then, do you happen to know of some Chinese connected with politics in China when you were back there?
No, I do not have any associations in that kind of thing.
So, now, would you consider the Chinese have done better or worse than the general populations in Los Angeles? I'm talking about the advancement. Do you think they have done pretty well?
I think as a group they have, yes.
Do you suppose they could have done better? And how?
Well, I really don't know how they might have done better. That's, however, I believe in view of the progress that has been made during the last 25 to 30 years, I think the Chinese group as a whole, as well as other Asiatic groups have in Los Angeles, have done remarkably well.
Now, maybe it isn't fair, but have you ever compared the Chinese with the Jewish people in the way of doing businesses?
I have in a sense, but most of the time I have compared the Jewish people with the Chinese in their family allegiance and family structure, in that it's both cultures are very strong on strong family ties, and that they are very closely related in that respect.
Now, here's a question I'm supposed to ask. Where did you meet your wife? Are you married?
No,
well,
I'm unmarried.
Excuse me, but I'm
uh-huh.
just going by the form here.
Sure.
Now, if you were married, would you rather have some sons instead of daughters, or what is the thinking on that?
I really don't have any thoughts about that.
How about your father? Did he much rather have sons than daughters?
I believe at that particular time in the knowing as much about the and understanding what the Chinese culture was like at that time, I believe sons were given the emphasis over daughters, although in my family, sons and daughters were treated equally.
Now, what do you think of interracial marriages?
I believe that if the people are really compatible, that it doesn't make any difference.
So, now, oh yes, in the movies, frequently you see Chinese movies portray the Chinese in such a way that it's not exactly fair or just to the Chinese. What do you think of that?
Well, I believe that's true. It's a stereotypical type of representation, and it's really not
But do you like to see it that way?
No, I don't like to see it that way. But I believe that this is the way the producers and the directors see it, and so therefore they will portray it that way.
I see. Now, then, tell me, Ralph, what are some of your, the best years of your life? Maybe you have so many best years of your life, it's hard to mention.
Well, it is.
But I mean, the best time, the best period.
Oh, I suppose it was the period of being able to do a number of things in New York City and being able to expand my particular talents such as they are. Those years there, first 10 years I would say in New York were
the best years.
Very fine as far as my life is concerned.
Then what are the most difficult years of your life?
I think the most difficult time was during the late teens and early 20s when...
Why was it difficult?
At that particular time, I believe I was trying to establish myself. Plus, I was also trying to make contributions to bringing the Chinese Americans image into a more positive force, in that I and those who felt like myself realized that if we were going to make inroads into the life here in the United States, that we would need to make ourselves more positive in business and education and all the other things, so that we could break down some of the barriers that were there at that particular time.
So if you were trying to do all those things, what did you actually do, or what did you actually accomplish?
Well, I think mostly within my particular group, it was mostly in trying to advise others who came to me for how they should react and what they should do, and being somewhat of a leader in the particular group which I was associated with, it was a constant association of trying to bring the best type of reasoning to the particular people who were questioning what they should do to advance themselves in this particular society here in the United States.
All right. What are some of the things that you remember the most? Something that you will never forget as long as you live.
I would say that one of the things that gave me a great deal of pleasure was when I returned for the first time to Los Angeles in 1958 to see my mother and to have reunions with my friends here. It was a very good feeling to know that some of the advice that I had given to them dozens of years before had turned out and they were all doing very well here and had adjusted to the society in the United States so well and were all in professional work, and that the advice that I had given years before, even though I was not sure how I would fare, at least they were also enlightened enough and also took the advice enough to heart that they all made very good progress, and I was very pleased to see that they were all well established by that time.
Now, when you came back from New York to see your mother, that was the time that she came back from China.
Yes, it was.
So she was... Then how about your relationship now with the, shall I say, white people, the Caucasians, your relationship with them?
Well, I have most of my relationships is in the working environment and a few social environment things that I've chosen to maintain, but it's very difficult to have too close relationships with the majority of people whom I used to have because of family restrictions and lack of time, etc. But there are a few whom I still continue to see. But I don't feel that white, Chinese, Chican, or black, any of that is very important, particularly now. It's just the individual whom I wish to associate with on a personal basis. It doesn't matter who it is, it's just that each one, I do not care about color or background, but it's just the individual himself, and so I don't place much emphasis on that anymore.
How did you get along with the Japanese before the war?
I really didn't have a great deal to do with them outside of the few that I knew at the university. I didn't have any relationships outside of that.
How about a relationship now with them after the Second World War?
Well, I don't have any close friends at all. I don't know any Japanese well, so therefore I can't really answer that.
So what is your father's name in Chinese, Ralph?
Tam Yin.
Tam Yin.
Tam Yui Choi, is that his kukuho, Yui Choi?
And what is your name in Chinese?
Tam Guok Dai.
Guok Dai. Yako Guok Guok Guok. Dai to Dai Siu Guok Dai. Well, maybe we're going to, well, for the moment, I want to thank you very much for your valuable time, Ralph. And I certainly appreciate this.
Well.
Oh, one more thing, Ralph. You mentioned about you had a part in a flower drum song. Would you mind tell me something about it?
Well, yes. I performed a flower drum in the Pabst Pavilion in Milwaukee during their summer festival in early 62. And played the part of the father of the girl, Mei Li. And this was very stimulating in that I had been performing in New York and some in Los Angeles prior to my moving to New York, and singing and acting, and I did a great deal of television as well as stage work in New York. But when I moved to Milwaukee, I was chosen to do this part in flower drum, and it was the first time that I'd ever performed out of doors, and it was a very marvelous experience to be able to perform on this vast stage before such a vast audience, and also with members of the Milwaukee Symphony in the pit accompanying us, and it was a very spectacular production.
How long did it last, Ralph?
It lasted a week. It is similar to the productions that are put on by the in various large cities such as Philadelphia and St. Louis, and here in Los Angeles, the outdoor summer season is a very integral part of the community entertainment. And the group I was with was the Florentine Opera Group in Milwaukee.
How were you being chosen, though?
I auditioned for the show and was selected.
Did you enjoy it very much, Ralph?
Yes, I did.
Would you like to have performed some more now?
I would from time to time, although I've sort of reduced my activities in the performing line in recent years. But from time to time, I still enjoy it when I get a chance to do it.
You mentioned about your singing regularly at the church, is that right?
Sometimes I am a soloist at the Hollywood Baptist Church in Hollywood. And I don't